What's in the off of the universe? If the universe is going on and off all the time, what's in the off of the universe? So a few years ago, I decided to call about 5 scientists from the world who were supposedly experts in what we call the discontinuity. Some great scientists, the head of the Max Planck Institute, who was a student of Heisenberg, Dr. Amit Goswami, whom of course some of us know here, but many others. And we said to these scientists, listen, there are only 5 or 6 of them, but they're like the top scientists, and they've written thousands of papers on the discontinuity. We said, now, we don't want to get too scientific, and we don't want to get too controversial. Can at the end of these 5 days, can we listen, can we hear from you what you guys think are absolutely certain qualities of the, what's in the discontinuity? Can you tell us a few things that you all agree upon? Because, you know, scientists never agree with each other on everything. So here's what they said. This is a very important part of our discussion this morning, from my point of view. The first thing that they all agreed upon. Are we on the same page? We're talking about the off, the discontinuity, which is part of existence, okay? Which is part of everything that we call reality. Because at the fundamental levels, nature is going on and off. If you could see the world with God's eyes, you would see that the world is just a ambiguous, radically ambiguous quantum soup that's going on and off at the speed of light. So we asked the scientists, what's in the discontinuity? And here's what they said. Okay. The first thing that they all agreed upon is that in the discontinuity, there's no energy, there's no information, there's no space-time, and there are no objects. So I'll repeat that. There's no energy, there's no information, there's no space-time, and there are no objects. So you say, well, then what's there? And the best answer that the scientists came up with is there are waves of possibility.
Yeah.
Waves of possibility. Waves of possibility. Please explain that. What do you mean? Are these actual waves that you can say? No, they're possible waves. Okay? They're not actual waves, they're possible waves. And so explain that a little more. Well, it's the potential for energy, information, space-time, and objects. Explain that a little more. It's the immeasurable potential of all that was, all that is, and all that will ever be. In space-time, energy, information, and matter. So we said, okay, that's good. Note it down. Immeasurable potential of all that exists, all that has ever existed and all that will ever exist in the future. So what's the second thing that you all agree upon? And they said it's called something that they call non-local correlation. Non-local correlation. Have you heard that term before? Okay, so actually the technical word is acausal non-local quantum mechanical interrelatedness. And all it means, simply, is that everything is correlated and synchronized with everything else instantly without the exchange of energy or information signals. Which means at this level, the whole universe is totally synchronized, is totally correlated, and all activity is correlated with every other activity in the universe without exchanging energy or information signals because it's all instantaneous. When you have an energy or information signal going from here to there, it's not instantaneous. Let's say I call you on your phone from China. And you're here. I say, okay, move your leg up, and whenever you move your leg up, I'll move my leg up too. We're trying to correlate our activities, right? But that takes a little time because the signal comes from China to here. Even at the speed of light, it takes a little time. But what if we were correlating our activities? They don't have to be the same activity. You could be lifting your left leg up and I could be lifting my left leg down. But if we were dancing together, synchronized. And if we were not sending each other signals, that would be called instant non-local correlation. And it turns out this is the only way scientists can explain simultaneity in the universe. Because in the universe, things don't happen one thing at a time. Especially in what we call living organisms, biological organisms, things happen all at the same time. A human body, for example, has 100 trillion cells. Each cell does about 100,000 activities per second. So imagine 100 trillion cells is more than all the stars in the Milky Way galaxy. 100 trillion cells, each cell doing 100,000 things per second, and every cell instantly knows what every other cell is doing, otherwise your body would fall apart. Not only does it know what every other cell is doing, it's correlating its activity. So how does a human body think thoughts, play a piano, kill germs, remove toxins, make a baby all at the same time? And in fact, whilst it's doing that, your body is tracking the movement of stars and planets because your biological rhythms are a symphony of the total universe. We have lots of biological rhythms, circadian as the earth moves around, seasonal, you know, I was just saying to Rita, we slept so beautifully last night because somehow over here we synchronized with whatever was happening in the universe. So your you have lots of biological rhythms and they're all part of the universe's symphony. And there are literally almost an infinity of activities happening in your physical body that have to be all correlated with each other without the exchange of energy or information signals. And there are many other phenomena in biology that cannot be explained other than through this phenomenon called non-local correlation, which is mathematically provable, by the way. So there's another phenomenon in our body called morphogenesis and differentiation, which means how a single cell with only 50 replications becomes 100 trillion cells in the body. You know, when you started out, you were just one cell. That cell became 2, 2 became 4, 4 became 16, 16 became whatever, 16 multiplied by 16, and 50 times that became 100 million. And so eyes and ears and nose and, you know, gonads and hair cells and liver cells and spleen cells all being simultaneously correlated. This simultaneous correlation, which occurs across space-time, because scientists, when they describe it, they call it unmediated, unmitigated, and instantaneous. Unmediated means there's no energy signal going. Unmediated, unmitigated, the robustness of the correlation does not diminish with distance in space or distance in time, which means past, present, and future are all instantly correlated. What would be an easier word than acausal, non-local, quantum mechanical interrelatedness? I think the easier word would be omniscience, omnipresence, omnipotence. It's an all at once. What did you say? Existence is holding it together. You said that right there? That's what non-local correlation is. It's a mathematical term. It's gone through a very interesting history. Einstein first described it. It was called Einstein-Podolsky-Rosen equation. And there were a Irish mathematician called John Bell who refined it further. Only recently, experimentally, have scientists shown in big nuclear reactors that particles at different ends of the universe, millions of light years away, they communicate with each other without sending any signals to each other. Instantaneously. So non-local correlation is the same thing as omnipresence, omniscience, omnipotence. Every scientist agrees to that today. They don't use these words, though. The third thing that scientists find about the gap or the discontinuity is they say it's a place where there is a proliferation of uncertainty. And the deeper you go into the discontinuity, the more it proliferates with uncertainty. Now, initially, this was a very simple concept. When Heisenberg went to Einstein, he was a young mathematician, scientist, physicist, and he had discovered this principle called uncertainty principle, which means you cannot describe the position or the momentum of a particle at the same time, one or the other. If you describe the position, it's a particle. If you describe the momentum, it's a wave. But before you measure it, it's neither a wave nor a particle. If you ask a wave-like question, then you see a wave. If you ask a particle-like question, you see a particle. And so when he described this to Einstein, and Einstein is already famous and a big scientist and won the Nobel Prize, Einstein very scoffingly said to Heisenberg, he said, I don't believe that God would play dice with the universe. Because science is predicated on one very fundamental principle, that if you know the laws of science, we know the laws of physics, then we'll be able to predict everything. But what Heisenberg was saying, no, we won't be able to, and it has nothing to do with the way we do the experiment. The laws of nature preclude you from understanding them completely.